You're listening to Trucking with Authority with Kenny Long. Now is the best time in a long time to take the leap and become a motor carrier. We'll dispel the rumors, teach you how to avoid the scams, take your questions, and give you the tools you need to get your own authority and get the success you deserve. Let's head down the audio road and start Trucking with Authority.
Welcome to the show. It is December 20th, 2016. This is the Trucking with Authority show. I am your host, Kenny Long, and for the next hour, consider me the navigator on your journey to success in the trucking business. We can talk about anything related to the trucking business, from getting started as a driver all the way up through pulling freight under your own authority. We can talk about becoming an owner-operator, leasing to a carrier, working with brokers and getting your own authority and load boards, dealing with the FMCSA, insurance requirements, record-keeping requirements. We can talk about factoring and getting paid, accounting. You name it, if it has anything to do with the trucking business from the beginning to end, this is the show for you, and I specialize in helping you take that next step to get where you want to be to reach your goals. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been on. December is always a busy month for us here at Patriot Star, but I'm happy to be back. This will probably be the last show for 2016. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring to the table before the year closes out, this is your chance, 646-668-2277. We're streaming live on Facebook tonight as well. I'll be taking questions and calls off the phone line first, and then we'll see what we can do with Facebook. Tonight's show is step three. In my past two episodes, I've done step one and step two. Step one was getting started and writing the business plan. I already messed that up. But anyway, we're on step three, implementing the business plan and getting to work. So you've done the research. You've written the business plan, you formed your new company. That was step two. Forming the new company, picked a big business name, decided the direction that you want to go in. And now it's time to get to work. It's time to put that plan into action. How do you do that? What do we do first? How do we get started? Uh-oh. Looks like we're having some issues with Blog Talk. We'll see what we can do here. We've got plenty of callers on, but we've got some technical support in the background. Anyway, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad now, and we will get you on the air. Looks like we may be having some technical difficulties, so if you have the questions, bring them on. Get them in there early, so if we have any issues, we don't lose you. So with implementing the business plan and getting back to work, what do you have to do first? Where do you start? There's always so much to do, and it can be overwhelming, especially if you don't really know what happens next. You don't know. This is the first time you've ever been through this. You've always been working with another company. You've been under the coattails of another carrier, or you've never been in the trucking business before. You don't know what you're getting into next. Intimidating trying to figure out a place to start. Starting with the business plan is always good with any business. Getting the business structure set up, forming the LLC or the corporation, or deciding if you want to be a sole proprietor, that's pretty typical of any business. But if you're going the route of a trucking business, now things get more difficult. Now you have to decide, where do you want to start? What is it that you need to do first? A lot of people make a big mistake right here, because most people, I would say in the 90-plus percentile, most people, the next step for them is to go out and buy a truck and a trailer. That's typically, in fact, many people go out and do that before they write a business plan. Many people go out and do that and never write a business plan. Maybe they never even form the company. They just work under their own name, and they're shooting from the hip. Happens all the time. The majority of people decide to go out and buy the truck first. Now, I'm going to go through a list today about a lot of the things that interesting. I'm going to go through the list today, and we'll talk about a lot of the things that you can do and you should do first. And buying the truck and trailer is the very last thing on my list, because there's a lot of things that should happen before you get a truck and trailer. Now, this is obviously for somebody that's new to the industry or new to becoming an owner-operator or just getting started as an owner-operator or a carrier. Buying the truck needs to be last. Now, if you already own the truck and you're working as an owner-operator under another carrier or you're working for another company, setting the truck up specifically to go to work under a new company is still the last thing that you need to do. Just because you went out and you set up your corporation or your LLC doesn't mean you immediately go out and get license plates and put that truck on, because you're not ready. There's a lot that needs to happen first. So what is it that you have to do first? And some of you are probably in, if you're already an owner-operator, just leased to another carrier, you're probably already somewhat set up with the business side of things. But even if you're not, or even if you need a refresher course, this is the very first thing that you need to consider. You need to get your office in order. I don't care if your office is the passenger seat of your truck, or the office is your kitchen table at home, or what your office is. You might have some luxury office in some skyscraper somewhere downtown. I don't care what it is, but the first thing you need to do is get your office set up. And what do I mean by that? I mean, you need to get organized. You need to have an accounting system. Number one, first and foremost, you have to have an accounting system before you start doing any business at all. And there's a very important reason for that. Stage of the game, you've already spent the time to put your business plan together. You've probably already spent a little bit of money doing that research. You spent a little bit of money, probably only a few hundred dollars, but still it's money going out to get your company set up. You've already got expenses. And at this point, you don't have any income coming in. You can't. It's impossible. You have to do those things first. You have to spend money first. You've already spent money. You have to have it in an accounting system of some sort somewhere. Now, an accounting system can be something extremely simple. It can simply be a ledger on a piece of paper. It could be a nice little neat handwritten notebook. That's what it can be. But that's not what I recommend. There are a lot of people out here for literally hundreds of years that have been running businesses off a handwritten notebook. It works. It's tried and true. It's prone to a lot of mistakes, but so is every system, to be honest. It is a lot more tedious and won't help you nearly as much as the modern software. The next step up from that handwritten ledger would be a nice, neat electronic spreadsheet. Excel is by far the most valuable program. And, of course, there's the other versions. Apple uses Numbers. There's the Google Sheets. But those spreadsheet programs are invaluable. Now, Excel is the number one biggest program out there for all businesses, and you should know how to use those. And I highly recommend, if you don't know how to use those, you watch some YouTube videos. Maybe you go down to the local community college and you take some classes. But you should really, really consider learning as much as you possibly can about spreadsheets. Even if you want to use some other type of a program, spreadsheets and knowing how to use these different programs, these spreadsheet programs, phenomenal what you can do with them. I mean, it's just any accounting software out there. There are accounting programs that you literally spend hundreds of dollars a month for, thousands of dollars a month in some cases. If you're good enough with a spreadsheet, with programs like Excel, Microsoft Excel, you can literally set those spreadsheets up to do everything those expensive programs do, everything, even to the point that they'll generate reports for you, they'll do all the calculations for you, everything. It takes a lot of work to program them all to do all this stuff, but it's possible. And even if you use some other type of accounting program, and there are dozens, there's hundreds of different accounting programs out there. We'll discuss a few. But even if you use one of those others, just the simple day-to-day tasks can be made much easier with just basic spreadsheet skills. So learn how to use spreadsheets. Part of setting up your office needs to be having a good spreadsheet program. I recommend Excel. But again, Apple version, the numbers, or Google Sheets work just as well. They just have a few different steps. But learn how to use spreadsheets. Next, let's talk about some of the accounting systems that are out there. Now, there are dozens of trucking-specific accounting systems. Some of them are far more advanced than you need if you're only going to run a one or two truck carrier. Some of them are way too simple to use for a trucking company. Some of them market themselves to be a trucking-specific software, but don't do anything relative to what most of us do. And you really have to do your research and look at the reviews. Depending on what your business plan is, really makes a big difference. So there's a few that I would recommend. And first and foremost, we are on the Let's Truck Audio Road Network. Let me plug that real quick. If you want to check out this show or any of the past recorded shows or any of the Audio Road Network shows, Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad, which is Wednesday night, Destination Health with Kim Cockerham on Thursday. I believe they're on Wednesdays now. Mike Beckett's show on Sunday nights, or Rick and Melissa with Trucking 101 on Saturday nights. All of those shows, all the past recorded shows, future shows, and phone numbers and show schedule times are all listed there, as well as Kevin Rutherford's shows that sometimes don't make it to Sirius Radio. There are dozens of, literally, probably now thousands of hours of programs over there with all the shows combined. And there's countless amounts of information. So that's at letstruck.com. Click the link to the Audio Road. You'll find all of those shows listed. Because we're on the Audio Road Network, the first program that I think we should plug is Profit Gauges. Now, if you are just buying a truck and you're leasing onto a carrier, Profit Gauges is phenomenal. It's the most streamlined. It's simple. It's literally laid out to be exactly like your tax return. None of the unnecessary information that other programs will give you. It's just straight and to the point, gives you simple reports, and it works excellent if you are leased to a carrier and you get a settlement sheet that breaks out all of the different information you need. The problem is, and I know they're working on this, I've been asking Aaron, the programmer, about this. They promised me that by next year sometime, ideally before the CMC next year, which when he told me that, the CMC was still tentative for May, and they bumped it to September. So I expect by early next year, Profit Gauges will work even if you become a carrier, a motor carrier with your own authority. But I have to say that right now it's not ideal. QuickBooks is your next best option. The reason that Profit Gauges isn't ideal yet is because it does. There's one important feature that you need that Profit Gauges doesn't do, and you don't need if you are leased to a carrier, and that is create invoices. You have to be able to create an invoice. You have to be able to bill your customers, send your customers a bill, ask for your money, essentially. Profit Gauges will be adding that feature. They promised me it's coming. I've been asking for a long time. They promised me it's coming. I've got my fingers crossed. It should happen next year. In the meantime, the best thing we can do is use QuickBooks. QuickBooks is recognized by nearly every accountant, probably worldwide. Just about every accountant already has the software, already is familiar with the software, understands the reports, has backdoor logins to be able to get into your software. There's different versions, desktop version, online version, and most accountants know how to use it. So QuickBooks is by far the number one accounting software program overall whatsoever for any business, especially a small business starting out. One problem with QuickBooks is it is not trucking specific. And what that means is it will not give you reports by the mile. It will not give you your simple and easy to fill in reports like Profit Gauges does. It's a lot more tedious, but once you get the hang of it, you can set it up to work and function similar to Profit Gauges, and that's what I would recommend you do. And then you can print and create all your invoices. It'll track your receivables, give you all the reports you need to make sure that your customers are paying on time and so forth. And we are still having some issues with the calls coming in. We have quite a few on already. I know we have a lot more, but apparently it's giving some people the boot. If you have any questions, it looks like even my call screener is having trouble calling in. So we'll see what we can do. If you have calls, go ahead and press 1 on your phone. I will probably just have to call you up by area code first, and we'll get you on the air and get your questions answered. All right, so Profit Gauges and QuickBooks are my top two picks, depending on your business model and what you plan to do with it. There are some others out there. There's a similar program to QuickBooks. I just learned about it. It looks pretty great. It's called Xero, X-E-R-O. Similar format to QuickBooks. Some accountants are already using it. It looks like they've tried to streamline QuickBooks a little bit. QuickBooks literally is designed to work for just about every kind of business out there. So because of that, it can be a little bulky, cumbersome in some ways. Looks like Xero has streamlined and cut out some of the stuff that most of us will never need. So it's something else to check out. But then you get into the more specific, what you might call it, a TMS, Transportation Management System. And what that allows you to do is not only your accounting, but also to track your trucking business. So you could put in your driver information. You can put in your truck information. You could, so, for example, your truck license plates might expire June 30th next year. You can put that expiration date in. When you get close to that time, it will remind you. Much like an accounting software that only tracks your invoices will remind you when your accounts are due, this will remind you as well with your trucks. It'll also allow you to do things such as create bills of lading. It'll allow you to send dispatch sheets or rate confirmations. All of those are built into this type of software, and there's dozens of those out there as well. I've seen these range from there are some out there that are literally free, lifetime service for free. There's no service, no cost whatsoever, all the way up to hundreds of thousands of dollars to implement them, which are what some of the big fleets have done, hundreds of thousands. So you have to find something that works for you. Now, there are some that work with the load boards, part of the load board companies. There are some that are part of the organizations you are with. OIDA, or NASTIC rather, has what they call MYSTIC, Managing Your Small Trucking Company, which works pretty well, ties in with a lot of the other services that you may already be using. Another one that's pretty popular out there, which has multiple levels, has some online versions as well as desktop versions, is Prophecy. That's a pretty good one, depending on, again, what your level is. The online version is relatively inexpensive for what you do. Some of these services charge you by the month or by the user. So one user with as many unlimited trucks as you may have. So you may have a fleet with 10 trucks, and it's one cost. Others might charge you by the truck with unlimited users. So if you have 10 people working in your office but only have 10 trucks, it might make sense to actually go ahead and do it the other way around. So you have to do your research on the transportation management system. All right, we've got the questions coming in. Looks like we've got our phone line working again. So if you're on Facebook and you've tried to call, try calling again, 646-668-2277. Calls are coming in now, phones are fixed, and we are up and running. So if you've got questions, comments, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and we will get to those in a few minutes. Set up your office. You've got your software in place, your accounting software, your programs. You need to stay organized. Now, there's a few tips I can give you about staying organized. First, if you're using a lot of paper, if you like to have your hands on this, on the paper version of everything, which a lot of people still do, you have to print every sheet out. You like to have your rate confirmations, your bill of ladings, all this stuff. I highly recommend you get a file cabinet, because I can promise you, if you're stacking it on your desk is going to be a mountain really quick. So get a file cabinet, and you will start filling it up fast. Now, there's a lot of documents you need to keep long-term. So plan on a minimum of 3 years to keep just about everything. Now, what I do to try to minimize the piles of papers everywhere is to try to use electronic versions of as much as possible. I have tried to go nearly completely paperless if possible. You still have your bill of ladings coming in. You still have, you know, there's still paper shuffled around every now and then, but I try to digitize everything. I have my driver scan all my documents to me, so I have electronic copies of all of my billing paperwork. I send everything via email, everything possible. And so because of that, I have a virtual pile of paperwork everywhere. So the best way to handle that, and this is something that I learned the hard way, your first thing might be to save all of this on the hard drive on your computer, which works perfectly right up until your computer crashes. And I mentioned I learned this the hard way. I lost a whole bunch of information from when I first got started. I've recovered most of it, but I'm sure there are still things that I don't even know I'm missing. Some good ways around that. Now, of course, if you're a computer techie, and the old school way of doing it would be to have some type of a network and have all your files automatically backed up to external hard drives and all this stuff. That gets way too cumbersome for me. Plus, most of us will be doing this, at least initially, while we're in the trucks out on the road. So a good way to do it is through anything that's cloud-based. I love internet cloud-based programs for my accounting software as well as my file storage. So look at, again, going back to your accounting software, if you can use something like QuickBooks Online, it'll work across all your devices. It works on your phones. It'll work on your computers. It'll work everywhere. And it's accessible no matter where you are in the world, literally. You can still access your information. You don't have to lug your computer around and all this stuff just to have your documents with you. Same with your file storage. Once you digitize things, save it in a cloud drive, such as OneDrive, Google Docs, Dropbox, any of the cloud that they're giving away these gigabytes of free storage. With every service you get, you buy a computer, you get a terabyte of storage, all this. Most of it's very, very inexpensive, and it's amazing how well it works because you're automatically on the network. It's so easy, and you know, one of the reasons that I had switched to it, just to give you an example, was I have an office on one side of town and I live on the other. And if Elizabeth and I were working on something, she was at home and I was in the office, I could store something on the cloud drive. She could open it up instantly at home. I don't have to be on a network. I don't have to worry about emailing files. It was that easy. So it makes life so much easier. The other thing would be to, again, you're just getting started to set up your email accounts. I try to do everything electronic. I try to do everything by email. And in order to do that, you need to try to be as professional as possible and set up a good email account. Now, I find that Gmail has a fantastic service. It's free to set up a basic account. And I think your basic account has 15 gigabytes of storage. And when you're talking about emails, that is years worth of emails. So that's a great place to start. You can pick a name, and it'll be yourname.gmail.com, or you can purchase an actual business email address. So it could be @yourbusiness.com. And the reason that you might do that is just for marketing. Now, I've chosen to do it the other way around. In the beginning, my company name is Patriot Star Incorporated, and so I started with my name at gmail.com. So it's that easy. Now, one of the things you need to think about is your email address is your first impression for your customers and marketing right off the bat. So pick a name that represents you. You don't want to be some vulgar, foolish name because that'll be the first thing you get. I remember dealing with a broker some time ago, and it was some sexually explicit email address that we had to send our documents back and forth to. Apparently, it was her personal email address, and she didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was awkward. It was really weird. Try to pick something that's professional and makes sense. probably that helps your business stand out and not just your name. So, and then, of course, if you want to go ahead and purchase that email address or a website even that has your company name as a .com or org or net or so forth, try to tie all of that together. And that is your first impression when it goes to marketing and sales. So keep that in mind. But that is one of the very first things that you need to do, and you need to put some thought into that because it can be important. It can make a big difference. All right, let's take a break from that comment just for a minute, and let's jump on the phone. Let's go to Steve in Georgia. Steve, can you hear me? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kenny, I appreciate you for taking my call. And I tell you, I got to say, I appreciate the information that you're giving us out here for us drivers to, you know, to attain. And I really do appreciate it. I'm currently leased to a company right now, and I will say about the end of March, 1st of April, somewhere along in there, I was going to go and try to I was going to get my, you know, wanted to have my authority somewhere along in then. And I just wanted to clarify that I heard you say on a previous show that now is the best time to go ahead and file, even if you don't activate the authority, because there's some changes that's going to be coming up in the rules of filing. I just want to clarify, is that what I heard was correct?
Okay, yes. Yes, and I was going to talk about this on my next show, which will be in January, but I'll touch on the basics of that right now. What you're referring to is the URS, which is the new system that you register under. It's the Unified Registration System. That does away with the current forms, which is the MCS 150 and the OP1. It combines those into one system, which is the URS. Basically, it's just they've taken all of the exact same information, put it on a computerized graphic interface website. It's fairly easy to go through. And with this new system, it does away with the MC number altogether. You'll only have a DOT number. It will eventually, and it's unknown yet. They haven't announced what the rates will be, but they will be increasing the prices on what it costs to get in. And because it's a new system, there's expected to be a big backlog and confusion, a learning curve, if you will, on getting everything up and running. So that's why I'm recommending that people get started now before that system changes. Now, that system was supposed to go into effect October of last year, but they delayed it. I'm sorry, October of, last year. We're coming up on the new year. My years are getting confused. So they've pushed it until January of 2017. They just a couple of weeks ago said that they're going to delay it further. So it was supposed to start mid-January, and it's not going to start then yet, and they have yet to announce when. So in the beginning of January, the first week or two of January, they are going to announce when the new URS system will take place. I also expect that when they make that announcement, they'll make announcements on what some of the changes may be, including possibly what some of the prices may be. But I'll be happy if they just put a firm date, if they could just tell us when this is going into effect. But my advice still holds true. If you are getting ready to make this happen in the next 3 to 4 months, then it's still a good idea to do it now. Depending on your tax situation, look at doing it by the end of the year, or again, this new system is not going into place in January, so if you want to hold off until January to be in the new tax year, that would be perfectly fine as well. But that's the reason I said now is the best time.
Okay, I got you. Well, my truck that I have, that's currently paid for, and I was looking for a 53-foot drive-in that, you know, I'm going to pay cash for, so I won't have that huge startup cost as far as equipment-wise.
Equipment that's paid for is definitely an advantage in this business because, and I'm going to talk about startup costs and money issues and things here in a few minutes, but having equipment that you don't have a payment, you don't have to cover that nut, that is absolutely the best way to go if you can make that happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I do appreciate it. And I just wanted to, you know, clarify that I heard that you saying on the previous show. And I went back and listened to broadcast one and broadcast two of where you aired and, you know, was basically running you through on how to go on the FMCSA website and file for your authority yourself. And I think I'm pretty well comfortable with that in that area. And I guess if I have any questions or whatever, whenever that time comes, I will call you back and address it to you if you don't mind.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. And I was going to redo that show again. I always try to do it the first of the year. But I may hold off until we get the announcement on when this new program goes into place. I want to try to brief that new program. Right now, for anybody listening, if you go back, again, I've done it. We've been doing the show for a couple of years now. And for the past 2 years, I have done that show in January, the first week or so of January. So if you go back to the archives of the show, you can look it up. And it's literally a step-by-step show. You could be listening to the show, pause it, do that step, listen a little further, pause it, and go through step-by-step like that. And if you go to the Trucking with Authority Facebook group, and on the left side, you have to do it from a computer, but on the left side, there's a selection for files. There is an authority checklist under the files. It's a PDF. It has all of the links to all the websites that you have to go through. Now, FMCSA is going through some changes right now. They have been editing their website. They've changed some things around, but those links will still take you to the right places. There may have the buttons and the places you have to click may have changed a little bit since I've done that sheet, but the links are still the right link. We'll take you to the right places to fill out the forms. I've also got the state checklists, which have also updated a little bit, but everything, all the links still work, take you to the right places, and that's a good place to start. And then once this new system goes into effect and we have an idea of when it will actually happen, I'm going to do that show again on the new system and explain literally step-by-step, screen-by-screen, how to go through and get your authority, what buttons to click, all of it. But for now, it's pretty self-explanatory. The new system is actually in place for those of you that are just starting. The system kind of updates and the next phase of it goes into effect for people that are already carriers. If you're just starting and you log in, the links are all the same, but again, it's almost a cartoon version. It's pictures, you know, press this picture if you're going to do this type of a thing. And it's very easy and self-explanatory, and I think just about anybody can do it.
Right. Okay. All right, Kenny, and I do appreciate it, and you have a good holidays, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Steve, and happy holidays to you as well. All right, we'll go to Lucas in Ohio. Lucas, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kenny, thanks for taking my call. Hey, my question is in regard to the amount of time spent between being a company driver and hauling your first load under your own authority. Now, ideally, I would like to work it so that one day I'm a company driver and the next day I'm hauling my first load under my own numbers. I just don't know how realistic that is.
That's very possible. It's going to cost you a little bit of money, but it costs you money no matter what. This is easier to do if you're a company driver. So if you are a company driver and you want to become a carrier with your own authority, continue working for the other company. And literally, you can do exactly that. Get out of that truck, and the next morning get into your own truck and go to work. Now, it's easy with being a company driver because you work for somebody else. You drive somebody else's equipment, somebody else's insurance. What you'll have to do is go ahead, get your own authority set up, get your insurance on your truck, and then that takes approximately from the time that you file for your authority, if you do everything efficiently, takes approximately 3 weeks. After about the 15th day of getting a filing, about 2 weeks in, go ahead and bind your insurance. So fill out the application online with FMCSA. About 2 weeks later, go ahead and buy the insurance. It should take from that point about a week, and you'll be active. So that first week, you'll have to pay for your insurance, and you'll be out of pocket that money because you won't be able to run the truck yet. But you have to have that insurance active before your truck can go active. So in your case, though, you can continue working under this other company, and then all of this stuff can be working on the sideline, and as soon as you're ready, you jump into it. Now, keep in mind, all this could be happening. You don't ever technically ever have to quit this other company. You could hire a driver for that truck. You don't have to personally do it. So remember to separate the two. You are not – you are just a driver in that other truck. The company is separate from you, and that can all be happening while you're doing your other job.
Okay, that wouldn't, like, violate, like, a no-compete clause or something like that? Or, like, if
I kept my company job, I hired somebody else? If you have some type of a no-compete clause with the company you're with, that's possible. That's pretty rare.
Okay.
I doubt that's going to happen. I mean, I don't think that – I've never seen a contract with any company that says that you couldn't go get another job somewhere. So as far as if you went and got another job and another carrier – versus you become your, you know, your own carrier, I don't see how there's a difference. So it's really going to go back to what your specific contract with your carrier says. I've never seen anything like that. I've seen back solicitation clauses where you can't steal customers and so forth, but that's a little bit of a different issue. So starting your own carrier, you should be able to do both with no problem.
Okay. Cool. Great. Thanks a lot for taking my call, and thank you for your show, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, too. And if you have any questions when you're getting started, feel free to call me back. We have a couple more calls on. I know the phone lines were lagging a little bit because we had some technical difficulties, but looks like we're up and running now. If you're watching on Facebook, 646-668-2277. I'll be taking the calls off the phones first. And Elizabeth is screening calls as we speak, so we'll get to those in a minute. We'll keep going. Now, talked about setting up with your accounting software, your TMS software if you need it. We talked about staying organized, the filing cabinet, and cloud-based files, OneDrive, Google, Dropbox, your email account, and a website. Now, a website is optional, but I highly recommend it because – once you become a carrier, there are some legal things that you can help do to protect yourself. And one of those is to create a rule circular or conditions of services provided. And there's several different terms, but basically it's a menu of services. So in this industry, in the trucking business, it's a little bit backwards. So if you had a vehicle, a car, four-wheeler, broken down, you take it to a mechanic shop. You walk into the mechanic's office and you say, here's my car, it's broken, I'm going to give you $100 to fix it. That's not really how it works. The mechanic will look at your car and the mechanic will tell you how much it will cost you to fix it. In the trucking business, it's the other way around. In almost every other business in the world, the supplier tells the customer what the cost is. And then the customer has to decide if that cost is worth it or to negotiate. But in the trucking business, it's the other way around. The truck owners are the supplier. They have the truck. They are the ones that will be hauling the freight. And typically the customer or the broker will tell the carrier what the prices are. Because of that, typically brokers will issue their contracts completely backwards. The carrier should issue a contract. Most of the time, when you're dealing, that's how it will work when you're dealing with brokers. But when you're dealing with a direct shipper, it works the correct way. So, a lot of times, when you walk into a direct shipper, there won't be a contract. It may be a handshake deal, especially if you're a one-truck carrier and you're working on handshakes and relationships. Those are the best deals to make, but you don't have any legal protections. So you should draft up a rules circular, which will just simply lay out what your terms are. It'll lay out what your payment terms are, you know, net 30, net 15. Most of the business on their rules circular will say net 15. Payments due within 15 days. It will lay out what your rates are. So detention rates might be $50 or $100 an hour. Your territorial rate, so going to New York City, might be an additional $250 on top of any other negotiated rate. All of this stuff can be, and it looks like I have a question about that right now. And prior to deregulation, every trucking company had to publish these rules, had to publish them. After deregulation, it was no longer required. And the brokers and mega fleets and huge shippers took advantage of the fact that it was no longer required and began to run carriers as if they were owner-operator independent, just as if you were leased to them. But you take on all of the liability. And they try to – they supply the contracts. And they will push for you not to have this rule circular in place because it protects the carrier. It doesn't protect the shipper or the broker. You're no longer required after deregulation. But that doesn't mean that you can't. Now, if you do publish your rule circular, that becomes the agreement by default. So even if you're dealing with brokers that issue a rate confirmation or they issue their broker carrier agreement, if you run into a problem that is not spelled out in that agreement, be it payment terms or there's a loss, there's a claim, there's whatever it is, and for some reason that's not specifically laid out in your agreement with that load and that broker, if you have it laid out in your rules circular, that will become by default the rules that you follow. We'll jump down to that right now. Prior to deregulation, that was called a tariff. So essentially, you're publishing your rates. And Mike in Pennsylvania, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How can we help you?
That's so timely. I was actually wanting to ask you about that circular because I got my authority in May of this year, and I've been operating, and it's almost like a one-way when you're setting up with these brokers, and they give you their documentation, and you sign it, and you don't have anything to show what how you operate, you know? So my
exactly.
question is,
yeah.
do they have to sign it every single time, or just by publishing it, you're good?
Yes and yes. Okay, so here's the thing. Most of the time, if a broker supplies his contract, most of the time it will say in the contract that nothing else applies. If they do that and you sign that agreement, you basically waived all of your rights to your own rules circular. One of the things that you can do is cross that line out. You can redline that, and you can list wording such as, any conditions not provided for under this contract are subject to the conditions of services provided at suchandsuch.com. And that's what I was getting at with website. If you publish – now, technically, you could just print this out and leave it laying on your desk. It's published. But if you put it on a website where it's accessible by the public, then it becomes like a default law. So they don't technically have to sign it, but you have to make them aware of it. So what I have done is I have my rule circular published on my website, and on the signature line of every email that I send out, it will say that any business transacted by this email is subject to the rules and conditions published at patriotstartrucks.com, which is my website. And you can
That's
do that
awesome.
As well. Yes. So,
where can I get a template?
Okay. That's a great question as well. Good news is it's absolutely free. Better news is it's drafted by one of the best transportation attorneys in the country. And the even best news is it's probably the simplest agreement that you can put together and covers all of your bases. It's Hank Seaton put it together. It's on his website, transportationlaw.net. He has a basic template. You can download that, and you can edit that template to fit your business. Now, when you're working with a broker, most of the terms in a broker carrier agreement are spelled out. But if something happens that is not specified in that agreement, you have the agreement to supply, and that's how it works. Or you can list it on the agreement and make that a part of it, or you can include it as an amendment to their agreement, print it out and put it on the back and have them sign it and get it back to you so you know absolutely without a doubt it's part of the agreement. So most brokers will not sign it. I can tell you that up front. Some may, but most will not. But even if they don't, and you have it published, if there's something in their agreement that is not specified, your agreement will be the backup plan. But I always like to make them aware of it. Like I said, I put a link to it in my signature on every email that I send out. So every single broker, carrier, driver, everybody sees that and knows exactly the business that we're conducting because it's all part of it. And it's a hot link. You can literally click it into it from your email. So I can't get anybody that says they never got it. So that was some advice I got from the attorneys. But nothing is perfect, but it definitely helps. Now, there was definitely
one more question?
Some brokers. Sure.
Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. Well, there will definitely be some brokers that will not have an agreement. There are some old school guys out there, and I love it working with them, who will you'll call them up, agree on a rate, and they will just give you the address to where you're going to pick it up. That easy. They might give you a written confirmation in an email. No agreements whatsoever,
right.
Just everything is handshake-type relationship. That's the best way to do it. When that happens,
right.
Your rule circular that's published automatically by default becomes the contract that you work under. Now, the best way to do
correct.
It and the template that you'll find on that website meets all the requirements and the laws under FMCSA 49 USC and so forth, and the Carmack Amendment, and it references all the different parts, you know, Title 49 and all of this. It will reference every individual law. So really all it's doing is saying that you abide by the published laws that are, you know, U.S. code, which
is absolutely easy
to defend. You know, if you ever have a dispute and you have to hire an attorney and go to court or something over claims or losses or anything, then your rules are specifically linked and tied and worded even exactly like the laws, then, it's a no-brainer. It's easy for the attorneys to defend that.
What's the title of the circular on Hank Heaton's website?
It's transportationlaw.net.
No, I'm talking about the document itself, the template.
Oh, the document is. I'd have to go through there, and I believe actually it's right on the front page. There's a link about halfway down the page,
okay.
But I'd have to go in there and dig around for it. But it's not hard to find at all.
Okay, that's not a problem.
There might be a
do you
link
have
for,
any Do you have any recommendations for a website and a hosting service? Because I know there are all kinds of ways you can affordably get a website up and running, and some of them have really good templates where you can actually customize most of this stuff because it's already done for you and there's almost very little coding that you have to do.
Right. Well, depending on how skilled you are, there's a few that are fairly simple. WordPress is the easiest way to get started, but you have to kind of understand how to plug some things in. So you can go to websites like GoDaddy.com, DreamHost or Bluehost. There's a few different, just the hosting server, and they'll charge you usually something almost minimal, $1 a year or something like that for your very first domain name. You register the domain name, you upload the information to it, and that's where you get started. Those require a little more work. Those are pretty basic, though. Now, there are a couple of really easy ones. I know GoDaddy has like a website builder kind of built into it, and then there's one that I keep seeing commercials for called Wix.com, and I've seen a few of their websites, and their websites turn out really well. They look really professional. So something to check out. They're not that expensive, and, you know, the other option would be to actually spend the money and hire somebody to do it for you, which then you'll get, definitely get professional-level results, and you'll get some good stuff, but they can get pretty pricey.
Yeah.
But that Wix program looked like it looked very good, and I think the website builder part of it is actually just part of their program, so something to check out, just Wix.com.
Okay. All right. One last question. Do you know how much the business email costs, the one for – just in the ballpark, like the one for Gmail where you can have your own domain name and create
I think it was by user or something like that, and I don't know the prices offhand, but it wasn't expensive. It was less than $10 a month. I want to say it was like $6.99 a month or something like that. But that gives you nearly unlimited storage, and it has a lot of other features with it as well. You know, much more in depth and in tune than the basic Gmail account.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. To have things like. Go ahead.
It is. It's a good idea to have your name tied to it. I have one for mine, but I've got PatriotStarTrucks.com is my website, and I have Ken at PatriotStarTrucks.com. And even though I have that and I use it occasionally, I find that my Gmail account is just easier to use. Everybody recognizes it, and it's just for me. It's just a generic at gmail.com address, and it seems to work just fine for me. So I've had the others for a couple of years. I use them sometimes, and I use it when I'm doing something specific, professional, and they need to talk specifically to me. But the my other one is kind of a general email that a few of us here in the company can access. So, but they both work. And it does have the company name on both ends of it. So.
Yeah, I definitely want to separate my personal and business emails. So I think I'm going to go for it.
It's a good idea.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, thank you, Mike. All right, we'll jump over to one more call. Ken in Mississippi, welcome to the show.
Kenny, I had a quick question. Well, hope it's not too complicated. I'm looking at three options of getting my own authority. I had my own authority about 16 years ago. I was thinking about reactivating that. I've heard that some brokers won't want to use you if, you've had an inactive authority that long. And then I've got an opportunity to actually buy an active authority. And my question there is, will that save me, any money on my liability cargo insurance? Or, of course, third option, just start brand new and, with a brand new authority. I'm just wondering which option would be better for me.
Well, okay, as far as reactivating your old one or starting a new one, you end up in the same boat. Either one of those, you'll be recognized as a new entrant. You have to start all over. Doesn't matter either way. It might do you some good to reactivate your old one just because some people might recognize the older number. But for the most part, it won't change anything. So those two on my book are about equal. The third option of buying this other company. Now, this is a tough one because for $300, I can go start a trucking company with FMCSA, fill out all the paperwork and be done. I'm a new entrant, and within the first few months, I won't be a new entrant anymore. It still takes me a couple of years to maybe get a break on my insurance. That might be a couple of $1,000 that I might save over a couple of years. How much do you think you'll save? And I think we may have lost.
I'm here, Kenny. I'm just listening.
Yeah. How much do you anticipate saving? And the other issue is making this business transfer and buying somebody else's authority is not as easy. You essentially would have to, the other company would have to be incorporated or LLC, mm-hmm. and you would have to buy out the company. And you would,
I would take over the business name, and I'd take over the business name, I'd take over the authority. It would be a total transfer of ownership of the whole company.
Okay. And would the person that owns it now stay on with you for a time?
No.
Okay. You may be able to hide that, but I'll just give you by the letter of the law how it would work. Anytime there is a change, a new authority or a change in management of a business, you start as a new entrant. So if you transfer all of this and you take their name off and put your name on, it's new management taking over. So essentially FMCSA will treat you as a new entrant either way. You may be able to get
even
away with that.
You know, with like 20 years and lost runs, I ran a fleet, leased to a company, but I still have lost runs reports, from running those 10 trucks with the leased-owned company.
You may be able to work out a deal with the insurance company, but again, FMCSA doesn't care who you are, where you came from, anything. Just letter of the law is new management, new company. So they are going to call you a new entrant. You'll start over, have to go through the new entrant audit, the whole deal. You're buying out the company.
Okay.
And everything that goes with it. So you may be able to, do the paperwork shuffle to make that work. But if they discover that it's new management, doesn't even have to just be a new owner, but new management, then essentially you're supposed to be treated as a new entrant. That's just how it's supposed to work. Not to say that it doesn't always go that way. So essentially,
I'm not trying to do anything under the table here, but I'm not trying to do anything under the table here. But of course, I'm trying to save every dime I can, and knowing that insurance is one of the big costs. That was my question. Is it even worth my time? Because it's going to be a pain in the tail, with all the lawyers and paperwork just, switching over this business. So if it's not going to be worth my time, then, I'll just reactivate.
How many trucks would you be buying with this deal? Would that be part of it as well, or just the paperwork side, just the business and the authority?
It's pretty much three trucks would be what I'd be buying.
Okay. Okay, so...
But I'm perfectly fine, I'm perfectly fine starting with one truck, under my own authority.
Right.
But, if this would be worth my time, then, to save on the insurance would be really the only thing that's attractive about it at all.
You would have to look to see how much you would possibly save. So the first thing you'd have to do some research on this. The first thing you'd have to do is talk to your insurance company and see if they would give you a break, because you said you've had 20 years of loss runs, you've got all this information. You may be able to start with your own authority, brand new, and they'll still give you a break. And there are people out here that insurance rates have gone up in the past year, but, I just got somebody started about a year ago, and I want to say that their first year insurance was under $6,000 a year, which is phenomenal. I mean, that's a great rate. So if you can get started and have a low insurance rate, you essentially wouldn't save anything buying this other company. There's no advantage to that other than if they have contracts that would go with it, equipment that would go with it, and all this, because you don't want to buy somebody else's debt. You don't want to buy somebody else's headaches. You run the risk of still being treated as a new entrant. So there's a lot. And you already said that you may have to hire attorneys to get this transferred proper and all this. So it sounds like it may actually cost you more and be more frustration than if you just went out and bought three trucks yourself, or just buy this guy's three trucks and started fresh under your own authority, and it would save you a lot of headache.
Okay.
But you need to do
research
first to see if there is any – see if there is any room to save on that. Talk to some insurance agents and see how they would recognize it first, and then see what you can do from there. But
it's pretty much going to be up to the insurance company then.
If you would save any money, yes. I don't see that it would be beneficial. I really don't. Most of the time, it's not a trucking company unless there's equipment and contracts. And the contracts have value, and you could buy the value of a contract. But if there's no contract, if they're only working with...
Yes, that's not really what I'm looking for. I've already got my own contract, so that's really not even appealing to me at all. Like I said, insurance would be the only thing. It's the only reason for me to do it would be, a break on the insurance.
More than likely, it won't save you anything. And if it did save you anything, it would be so minimal that it would not be worth your time to do it. Plus, the headache of taking on three trucks. And like I said, you're buying somebody else's, headaches.
Kenny, I appreciate you taking my call and taking the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for the call. All right, we're right at the top of the hour. I've got a few more things to talk about quick. I'll just blow through this. I said I was going to get to talking about buying a truck last, and I've only got talking about setting up the office. So you set up the accounting system. You got everything in the cloud. Everything is working great there in the office. That's great. Next is, and we talked about this a minute ago with the caller, is understand the contracts. You will be signing a lot of contracts. Write your own rule circular. Get a lawyer to help you if you need to. But visit transportationlaw.net. And whether you're working with brokers or you're working with direct customers or you're hiring drivers or you're an owner-operator, you're leasing to a company, you will have contracts. And you need to understand how the laws apply. There's a lot of rules and laws that we in the trucking industry have to adhere to and that are also there to protect us. So you really need to know how those laws work. So transportationlaw.net, there's a lot of free information, and there's a book for about $20 that you can buy. I don't get a kickback from this, but it is by far the best resource that you can get as a carrier. I recommend it probably every show. So if you haven't heard me say it before, transportationlaw.net. The other thing you might want to do when you first get started is you need to be thinking about marketing right off the bat. Your very first day, your very first time out there, you can start putting your name out. So one of the first things you should do is get some business card printed up. You should have business cards in your pocket everywhere you go. Every customer you see, every person you meet, you should hand them a business card. Thousands of business cards every year should be flowing through your hands. I mean, just start giving them away to everybody. You're trying to get your name out there. So that should be one of the first things you do is get business cards. Get your phone lines up, get your accounting and your office up, get business cards and get started. And then the next thing you're going to need is money, and lots of money. The mega fleets, the big mega carriers, they operate on average of about 6% profit. 6%. That is so minimal. So if you can imagine, those of us out here, we make $100,000 gross revenue, we get to keep about $6,000. That means you've got all of that money flowing through. Now, the mega fleets have huge overhead. They've got three trailers to every truck. They've got a terminal in every major city. They've got a mechanic. They've got a dispatcher, a driver manager, a fleet manager, huge overhead. So a small company can run a lot more efficiently than the mega fleets. But a new company just starting out is not efficient yet. You haven't worked out the bugs. So you know that you'll have issues in the beginning. So in the beginning, you will be spending a lot more money than you ever anticipated. So you need to have money. Which means you'll also need to have an accountant. So you have your accounting software, you also need to have an accountant to ask the questions. How should I spend this money? I have money coming in. Where should I put this money? You need to have an accountant that you can refer to. Where do you find resources like this? Well, with money, you need to be talking to some banks. Maybe you have money in your own accounts. Maybe you have this money saved, but you need to know how to use it, invest it, how to store it. Money is just a placeholder for value. You need to have a system to transfer it. So if you have a customer or a vendor, somebody you're buying a truck or a part from on the other side of the country, how will you get that person that money? You need to have a bank that has the resources that you need. You don't want this money buried in your backyard, of course. And then there's other systems like fuel cards. You need to have a way to save money and be efficient. So you need to start looking at fuel card programs, maybe through Nastic or Fleet One or Comdata, all these different savings programs that are out there. A lot of the big carriers and fleets have their own savings programs. Other things that banks offer are payroll services or loans. Maybe you have plenty of money to operate on, but what happens if you go out there and in your first month the engine blows up and you have six tires blow out and somebody rear-ends your trailer and all you're out of work for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden you might have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in the bank, and that could be gone in an instant. But if you have a bank backing you, a loan, line of credit, that can help. Maybe you never touch it, but having the available funds there is always beneficial. So you should start talking to a bank, build a relationship. Maybe it's not something you need right in the beginning, but you need to start establishing those relationships right off the bat. Open your checking and savings accounts, business accounts. You need to have at least one business account. It needs to be separate from personal accounts, always. Ideally, you should have an account for your operating expenses, an account for your payroll, an account for maintenance, and a savings account. Maybe other accounts if you need to break it down further than that, but that would be ideal. Now, another thing that we'll just touch on, but should be a last resort, and it really needs to depend on your business plan and your financial situation, but can help with some of the financial stuff, are factoring companies. You need to look at factoring companies that will give you the lowest rates and the best benefits. Try to avoid things that will lower your risk. You want to take on the risk as the business to extend the credit to your customers, but you don't want to have somebody else extend the credit for you and charge you for the risk. In other words, no recourse programs are a huge scam. Be very cautious of those. They may charge you 4% and 5% monthly for what they call a no-recourse program. And if you read the fine print, you'll find out that you are not limited to your liabilities on this much at all. So be very careful with that. But factoring companies are a possible option, but it needs to be a last resort. And you need to understand the cost, and you need to understand how that cost will affect you and what you get out of it. In some cases, if you can get the rates low enough, they may offer other benefits that could offset that cost. So they do things such as credit checks. They offer fuel card programs and a lot of times offer discount programs, things to look into. They also take a lot of the office work off your shoulders, invoicing, payable, receivable. They will track all this for you. Now, you're going to use something like QuickBooks to track your own numbers, but do you really need to have 10 invoices out there that are at 31 days and now you have to make 10 phone calls while you're still loading freight on your trailer? But a factoring company may be able to help you with that, but you don't want to pay too much for it. So be very, very careful on what you're getting and why. And most of the time, a factoring company, especially for a small one, two, or three truck carrier, absolutely should avoid it at all costs unless you have no other option. Okay, so we've talked about getting the business side of things set up. What else do you need? We're not up to buying a truck yet. The next thing you need, your business is up and running. You have the ability to run a business now. Now you need a customer. You don't need a truck yet because you don't have a use for a truck yet. You don't have a customer. Where do you get a customer? So that's the next resource you need. You have to get a customer. You don't have to have a truck until you have a reason to have a truck. So you need to get out and get a customer. Now, if you are an owner-operator, leads to a company, or driver, as one caller, and he wants to get his authority and be up and running, and on one day turn his company truck in and jump into his truck the next day with his authority, that would be fine and easy, and you know I told him how to do that, but where is he going to go on that first day? He has to have a customer to go to. He has to have a customer to work for. So before he does any of that, he needs to start looking at where he's going to get his work. Excuse me. So with customers, you can have your direct shippers. You can have brokers, which you can find off load boards. And there's new up-and-coming load boards, which are kind of in a middle ground between a traditional broker and the shipper, like the Uber Freight, or Amazon is getting into the business. There's Convoy, which is another. There's multiples out there, which are supposed to cut out the middleman, quote-unquote, which essentially they are a broker. They're just a streamlined system. But that's a place to find work, and you might work directly for them. So you need to look for your customer. Now, if you are an owner-operator leasing to a carrier, that carrier is your customer. That carrier is the person that you answer to. That carrier is the person that writes your check. They are your customer. So you need to find a carrier to lease to before you buy a truck. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people will go out and buy a truck and then look for a carrier. And why might you think that that's a bad idea? So with customers, what does it take to get a customer? We already touched on it a little bit, and that is sales and marketing. Get your business cards out there. That's step one. Get your email address. Step two, get your phone going. Get your name out there. That's all got to happen. So get the word out that you are running a business and that you're providing this service. It has to happen first. The first thing you have to do is get your name out there. The best place to find customers is through referrals of people you know. Hands down, it's the best. Every single person that you know has either a job or knows somebody that has a job. And if they have a job, they work for somebody that's either making something or they work for somebody that knows somebody that's making something. Anybody that's making something has to ship it. Hence, we're a trucking company. We need to start making those relationships. Brothers, sisters, mom and dad, who do they know? Where do they work? Who can they introduce you to? Your best friends, who do they know? Who can they introduce you to? People you meet at the restaurant, in the grocery store, who do they know? When you introduce yourself, don't just say, "Hi, I'm Bob." Say, "I'm the owner of a trucking company." Hand them a business card. Get the word out there. Try to start small talking with them. Get the word out and use the people that you know first, because that's the easiest way to get your foot in the door. Next would be just canvas the area. Now start in your home area. Go everywhere. Knock on doors. If you don't even know what the business is, find out. And I can promise you that I live here near Orlando, and nearly probably once a week, I'll go for a drive somewhere, and I'll find some new back road somewhere that here in Orlando, if you've ever been here, there's the city central and the little suburbs, but you drive just a few minutes out of town, and it seems like you're out in a field in the woods somewhere, and it seems like you're in just some remote rural area, and you'll turn a corner, and all of a sudden, you're in an industrial park. I mean, there are huge corporations. Boeing, for example, is here. Northrop Grumman has a facility here in Orlando. And if you drive out to those facilities, it seems like you're driving out into a vacant field somewhere. Then all of a sudden you come up on these multi-million-dollar facilities. And if you don't know they're there, how would you just accidentally call and walk onto them? But if you start looking, canvas the area, drive around, look for these industrial parks. That's one of the best ways to find places. Then you can use business listings. Of course, there's Yellow Pages, Yelp, Google. Everybody's got access to all these. They're free. Manta.com. That will break down what these businesses do and where they're at, all the contact information. Those are all free. Then you get into some paid sites that are a little more specific but will absolutely help you, and that's Manufacturers News or ThomasNet. You can look those up online as well. There's some paid services. There's a few free features you could use that might help you find some customers. So once you find some good areas, good customers in your area, and you go out and you might deliver a few hundred miles from your home area, then you have to figure out how to get back or your next load. Of course, you could go back to referring to load boards and brokers, but then you do the same thing on that end. Start looking for somebody that's shipping something back. So use the same techniques, Manta, Yellow Pages, Google. Then start driving around. When you get to your receiver on one end, get out of the truck and walk through that industrial park and find out who else is out there. Knock on some doors. Introduce yourself. See if they have something going back. Use the dumbbell technique, which means on either end you have your weights, for example, with round area with the barbell between where you've got the straight line going back, and figure out what can get you back and forth. Knock on doors, make phone calls, and don't be afraid to hear the word no. You will hear no hundreds of times. Typically, 5 out of 100 calls will be a maybe. Won't be a true yes, a maybe. Of those 5, you might get 2 that'll be a yes eventually. Sometimes you'll have to try again. And again, and again. If you get a no from a customer once, you should try again. Statistically, sales are made on the 11th to 12th attempt, which means you need to go back to these no customers that absolutely no don't want you more than 10 separate times and try to get a yes. Keep trying. You can refer back to load boards, of course, the big one, CAT, and truckstop.com. Most of the big major brokers have their own independent load boards. All of those can help you. The other thing is to build relationships as you go. So if you work with a broker, get on their email list. Send them periodic emails. Check in. Tell them where your trucks are. Call brokers directly. Don't just rely on a load board listing. Don't wait for them to tell you that they have a load available. Call them and tell them you have a truck available. Let them find a load for you. Some of the big brokers literally have thousands of loads across the country. They can only work on one or two at a time. But if you tell them what you're looking for, they can probably find something more specific to what you need. Okay, so that's how you find the customer. That's how you find your office. That's how you get your money set up. That's how you're set up for business. still don't need a truck. Because now you have to have somebody to run this business for you. So something you need to consider is who are your employees going to be? Just took a call a little while ago that said he might buy a company that owns three trucks. Well, if he buys a company that owns three trucks, before those trucks can move, I know he can't drive three trucks by himself, he's going to need some employees. So can he get employees? You need to educate yourself on what the laws are for getting employees, the accounting, the taxes, the withholding, the safety issues, the OSHA requirements, the workman's comp requirements, insurance requirements, equal opportunity requirements. You can't discriminate. Even though you're just a small little company, you still can't discriminate for any reason. There's still laws that you have to fall under as well. You have to know what those all are. We won't touch on that much because most of you will probably be doing your own driving, your own work. You are your own employee, but you have to understand how that works, even at your level, because there may be some rules that you have to follow yourself. And now it's time to find a truck and trailer. Why do you think we waited until last? Because a few minutes ago, we didn't even know who our customer was. How do we know what kind of truck and trailer we need to buy? So let's say you wanted to, you went out there before and you decided that I want to buy a nice fancy tractor with a reefer trailer. You go out and you spend $200,000 on a brand new truck and trailer. Then you go out and you start looking for customers and you find a perfect customer, absolutely has a load that leaves. He's 5 minutes from your house where you park your truck, 5 minutes. He has a nice, perfect, light load every single day. It goes out. It pays phenomenal money every single day. You have another load on the other end. Phenomenal money brings you right home. You might make, you could be a millionaire by the end of the year because you found the perfect customer. 5 minutes from home, home every night. You will be a millionaire by the end of the year. And you have a $200,000 brand new truck with a brand new reefer trailer. This customer needs a flatbed. Don't you wish you would have waited until you found out what your customer needed before you went out and spent that money? Don't you think it would have been a good idea to know what you were going to do before you went out and bought a truck? If you were to start a company right now, a factory, would you go out right now, buy some robots, buy some welders, hire a bunch of people, get them all in there, get all this equipment set up? You've got conveyor belts everywhere. You've got robots. You've got all this fancy stuff swinging from the ceilings. You've got forklifts running around this place. You've got a huge warehouse. You are ready to go. Now you've got all that stuff. Now you're going to go out and figure out what it is you want to build. Would you do that? Because if you go out and buy a truck before you have a customer, it's the same thing. You don't know what it is you want to do with it yet. Why would you buy the equipment before you have the work? Do your research, get a customer, and understand what it is you want to do before you go out and get the trailer and the truck. Know what it is you want to get into. When you're looking for trucks and trailers, every business plan is going to be different. You all should have done your research to know what it is you want to get. If you're going in and out of California, if that's your business plan, you have to have a California-compliant truck. Another reason not to get a truck before you get a customer. What if that customer needs a truck that's California-compliant and you decided to buy one that wasn't? But that's a perfect customer, so maybe you need to consider that. I would advise you to do your research on the truck. Kevin Rutherford has a program that will help you buy the perfect truck. Pre-emission trucks tend to be more reliable on the simple stuff, or on the complicated stuff, rather, because they don't have the complicated stuff. They don't have the after-treatment systems and the exhaust and emissions problems. New trucks have a lot of issues, and they get really expensive, and they spend a lot of time in the shop over those complicated systems that the old trucks don't have. But keep in mind that we're approaching 20 years now since we had a true pre-emissions truck, and a 20-year-old truck will have a lot of problems of its own. There's also glider kit options, which are still close on the price. There's some pros and cons to glider kits as well. You have a rebuilt engine. There's no guarantees that you won't have issues with that, and you've got a lot of cost involved. You have a lot of upfront issues that you may have with a new truck, an older used truck. You may have a lot of maintenance costs and things that you need to take care of right off the bat. So even though you save money, you could go out and buy a $10,000 to $20,000 truck right now and put it to work. I guarantee you that if you don't know how to maintain that truck, it won't last you long. You'll spend a lot of time in the shop on simple things. You go out and buy a new truck, you might spend a lot of time, it's a coin toss, you might spend a lot of time in the shop on complicated things. So you have to do your research and know what you're getting into. Kevin Rutherford has a pretty good program that can help you weed out the good and the bad on every truck, new or used, and it can really help you out with that. So check out his program. Again, you can find that at letstruck.com. We got one final question we'll wrap things up with. Jim in Florida. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kenny, I appreciate your show. I just got my authority getting ready to go out on the spot market after the holidays, and I bought the truck. I'm getting ready to buy a trailer. And I was wondering, what percentage of freight do you think I would miss out on if I were to get a spring ride trailer instead of an air ride?
Are we talking about a van trailer?
I'm sorry, Kenny. A van, yeah. I'm able to get a really good deal on a spring ride trailer, but I'm afraid that I might cut myself off from a lot of good air ride freight. Do you know anything about that?
I wouldn't worry about it too much, but again, this goes back to what is your plan? What are you doing? You plan on doing general spot market freight?
Spot market. And the deal, the trailer, I'm getting such a good deal on it, Kenny, that if down the road it changed, I could unload it and not really be hurt too bad.
If it's the right deal, and I don't know what the deal is, and let's not get into that right now, but if it's the right deal,
yeah,
I don't see it as a problem. General freight, you know, warehouse to warehouse, you know, food stuff, you know, make sure it's a nice clean trailer inside and out, food grade. Most of the time, you won't have an issue. Until you get into maybe some more high-value type freight or, you know, some of the more delicate freight, then I wouldn't worry about it. Most of the time, I can't remember the last time somebody specifically wanted an air ride trailer.
That's great news.
To be honest, been asked for. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I will tell you that a spring ride trailer has some other maintenance issues that you'll be dealing with. You have to be careful. I've had spring ride trailers in the past where I had issues with springs breaking and things, and it's a pain to try to get it fixed. That was minimized with air ride. My fuel mileage wasn't as good with spring ride, I think just because of the constant kind of bucking of the trailer that spring ride tends to do, depending on how it's loaded. So just some things to keep in mind. If it's loaded properly, it should be all right. But, again, there's a few different types of suspension. Just some things to keep in mind about that. But, I don't think as far as if you're just getting started, if you get a great killer deal on it and you know that you could unload this trailer later anyway, I don't see a problem with it. You know, another option would be, depending on what type of suspension system's under it, it takes all of about 15 minutes to pull that bogey out and throw another set of tandems under there. You know, if you find the right deal and you could find an air ride tandem and just throw it under there. Matter of fact, I have a trailer that I'm doing that with right now. So it can be expensive.
I don't know how much
put into this trailer, but it's an option, you know, so...
All right, Kenny, listen, thank you so much for all you do for us. I appreciate you, okay? Have a good evening.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. Now, with that, we are approaching an hour and a half today. As usual, I always go over time. I get to talk, and I don't know when to stop. So the next show is going to be after the new year. We will get started first week of January, and we will talk about getting your authority again. We'll talk about how to do it. Step by step a little bit. I may hold off on the actual step by step because I know the website is in the process of changing, but I will continue our how to series of shows here and what to do next. So obviously right in the middle of this show, getting started, you know, with the office work and everything would be to actually apply for your authority if that's the direction you want to go. And I didn't touch on that now because I'm going to do an entire show on it. So we'll try to get to that again after the new year. So for now, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining me, and we will see you again next year. Good night, everybody.